3FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steam on Sports.
I think we had dueling songs going on there during that intro. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scotty's sitting across from me. I'm here. We're glad you're here. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at 1700 The Champ, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. I didn't get the podcast up last night because I went on a... Didn't think I was going on a bike ride, but I went on a bike ride.
That's I have that in my notes. I actually want to talk about that later.
Let's see. We have Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners again tonight, 8 o'clock. They won last night, so it's 1-1. They need to get this one tonight. And as always, we want to thank our sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Four Homeless Veterans Golf Tournament at Legacy Golf Club. For Central Iowa Shelter and Services for our homeless veterans. And we'll talk more about that as we move along as well. So we're 2 days away from going to Newton, my friend.
Yes, we are. It's
get to do some things there, which is exciting. Yeah. I texted Ann right before we jumped on here to see what she has going on. And I texted Randy Wayhofer, and he will be in here as soon as the iCubs game gets over, because I know it was last time I looked, but it's been a while. It was in the sixth inning or seventh inning.
No, it's already.
Is it done?
Yeah, it was done.
I couldn't even tell you what inning they were in. I just happened to glance down because I was holding up a schedule, making sure, because the reason he wasn't here last Wednesday was because it was a night game, or the last time they were home. So it's been, I think he hasn't been here for 3 weeks.
Right, because we had the fourth, he had a night game, right.
And then he had, they were off, so.
I have it as a 7-1 victory today for them.
And as you said yesterday, they're playing really well. So
with the 7-1 victory today, they are at 59-36.
Excuse me,
54. Can't even read my own writing.
That is really, really good, and it'll be fun to talk to Randy about that. There's always all kinds of things going on, but as usual at Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, you get the first subject. What's on your mind, my friend?
What's on my mind is, We always talk about this, that we constantly have other shows throughout the day, whether it's some I listen to Little Jim Rome, sometimes Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, you know, all these different ones you can stream, all these different things. The topics that
you can tell it's that time of year,
you can tell that it is very, very lean in the cupboard right now, because it's, you know, I've heard some very interesting non-sports related topics that have definitely cracked me up. So it will be good to have Randy here, because I mean, to talk about his mind, I guess his direction of what he's thinking is going to happen. Are they going to keep down that path? Not that he has an insight nor has an inside track to what, you know, management or upper office does and things like that.
He's
a baseball guy, and to have his what he thinks, and like I talked to somebody that has season tickets down at iCubs, and so he knows of the legend of Randy, and said if you ask him a question, you will get the most politically correct down the middle, not offend anybody. He goes, but it will be a very astute response to any question. So he knows Randy as well. So
So there are what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, the one thing we were talking about,
30 major league baseball teams.
Right.
And just looking at this to say, if you're in the 40% win total, I'm saying you're done. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 8. 9, 10, 11. That's 12 teams. Almost half the league is more than 6 games back as it stands, and some more than that. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You have 12 teams that are more than 10 games out.
Right.
And
I'm just looking from AL to NL, the Central, the American League Central, you have one team over 500.
Yeah, and barely.
But then again, we've talked about this. It's the AL East, every single team. I mean, the Orioles are at a .611 as far as their percentage. Every team is above 500 in the AL East. Even your Yankees, last place Yankees,
yep,
are 50-46. They're 8.5 games out of first.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
It is. It's crazy the way, and you have you have two teams in the Central and National League who are not below 500. I mean, it's all over the board. And
right,
you know, and if you take that, because here's another interesting one that I was looking at the other day. And that is when we get ready to start talking football. Now, we both happen to be fans of AFC teams. You are a Dolphins fan. I am,
yes,
a Ravens fan.
Right.
And quarterback discrepancy between the AFC and the NFC. Dude, it's huge.
I think there's going to be some big things that should start solidifying. I mean, you took Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC and you put him
right
into the AFC.
But I think
Justin Fields is going to do some pretty good things.
I know. But just in the AFC West, you have, so count these on your fingers and toes. You have the Kansas City Chiefs. There's one. The Chargers. Those are two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. This isn't a Justin Herbert problem. This is that's a Charger and a coach problem.
Okay.
That dude is.
But so you think he has the ability, but as long as you are in that system with
if Justin
doesn't matter
Herbert,
what his talent
this is,
is
how I'm doing it. If you were available, how many teams from the other conference would take you?
Yes.
And
okay,
everybody on that other side over there. The only one that would even be close would be, do I take Jalen Hurts or do I take Justin Herbert? And then I don't think that there's another team on that side that takes him, that doesn't take him.
Right.
And then you move up. Then you have Patrick Mahomes. Then you have Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, if I know this doesn't appease you, but you have Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, and Allen.
No.
From,
Josh
Allen from the Bills. And then when you look at the NFC, I'll give you Jalen Hurts. I'll give you Dak. I'm not giving you Daniel Jones. I'm not giving you Kirk Cousins. I have a great Kirk Cousins stat line here. And I think people have been watching, if you've been watching Netflix and you find out, oh my God, I really like Kirk Cousins. And now they're looking deeper at his stats, because I think a lot of people just said, oh, I don't like Kirk Cousins. And you're like, well, why don't you like Kirk Cousins? I don't know. I just don't like it. And I'm like, okay, the dude's one of the nicest people you ever see.
Right.
Family man, all that.
But that's not, he doesn't have the W's.
I mean, think about what you just said to me. I mean, I said Jalen Hurts. Your next person you said was Justin Fields. Justin Fields completed 40% of his passes last year. Is Justin Fields a stud? Yes.
I think he was absolutely fighting a battle by himself.
Overwhelmed.
You know.
So you have Kirk Cousins and you have Jared Goff. I mean, when you're in the NFC and you're thinking that Jared Goff's the second best quarterback in the NFC, man, you've come a long way, Jared Goff. Good job out of you. The Packers, unknown. The Bears, I'll give you. Tampa Bay, unknown. Carolina, unknown. New Orleans Saints, unknown. Atlanta Falcons, unknown. The San Francisco 49ers, right now, in the NFC, Brock Purdy's the fourth best quarterback, if not better. Brock Purdy.
With a
bad elbow.
I get what you're saying.
Seattle Seahawks.
I think we're going to see some things that are going to, in the NFC, that we're going to see some talent.
Just not from the quarterback.
No, I think we are. I think there's some opportunity for, the ones that I've
Hit me with some knowledge here.
You know that I'm not a Kyler Murray fan.
Right. I'm not a Kyler Murray fan in Arizona.
Right.
Just like I'm not a Trae Young fan in the NBA in Atlanta, but you put him with a team that actually could use his skill level. Man, I've seen Kyler Murray win football games.
In the right scheme.
Yeah.
It's hard to hit your wagon to that one right there.
Coach was.
I know.
It that's the bad thing for these quarterbacks too. But and here's the biggest I don't know if this is radio okay, but talk about giving an FU to somebody. Matthew Stafford telling the Rams, yeah. I'm not changing my contract. You paid me, you pay me.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you're Matthew Stafford. You played like four games last year. And he goes, yeah.
Right.
But
he also got him Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I'm good.
So it's.
I'm good getting my.
Right.
Yeah. Here's a really bad thing is it's really funny. Because Kirk Cousins was in the same boat as Kyler Murray. The only publicity he ever got, not seeking it, not anything, was bad. Everybody took every single thing that he did and used it in a negative, connotative way to bring him down. Like, you know, he was over on the sidelines and in his wide receivers' faces. And when you talk to wide receivers, he was over there going, guys, it's fine. I'll do a better job. He wasn't yelling at his receivers. He was yelling at his receivers, telling them that he would do a better job, even though they're the ones that are dropping the balls. I mean, it's.
And what? And this is on Netflix?
Yeah, so Netflix. It's Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins.
I'd have it's Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's, okay. I guess I've heard rumor of this. I didn't realize it already started.
Yes. And it's really good.
It's along the same lines of the PGA one we were watching, the golf one we're watching.
The golf one, the Grand Prix, all that. I mean,
interesting.
If you can get something, Netflix does a really good job of that in bringing that through. And I've told you, we tell everybody we talk to, well, why is Grand Prix so,
F1.
F1, yeah. why is it so big with young kids? One, they stay up late or get up early to watch it, and they can bet on it.
They can bet on it. Well, and then it's like you said, it really
and it's exciting and it's fast.
And the Netflix,
yeah,
expose on it, whatever, you know, the documentary set it up so you got to know the names, and start have a little skin in the game because you like this guy. You figured out who the hero and the heel was and stuff like that. So it was, yeah. I mean, it was well orchestrated the way they did it.
Yeah, I they have to. I mean. If you're the National Hockey League, I'm sending them 50 emails a day because there are diehard hockey fans in this country. I guarantee you, unless they played youth hockey, there's none under the age of 18.
I would think the next one that they would be looking at would be NASCAR. I think NASCAR would want to light their candle again.
Right. But NASCAR's still in their pockets.
Right.
The problem
they went back to the market where they came from.
Right. The problem NASCAR had is, well, we'll just keep going and keep going. And like, okay, people don't like us that much in California. And when you throw it on Sonoma and it's a road race, there's diehard NASCAR fans that don't like road races.
Right.
And so it kind of
then they got to the point where they were like, you've got a day race and a night race with Bristol.
Yeah, you go down south.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're still doing okay.
I got you.
But it's I think it's exciting. I think as of tomorrow, we're 49 days away from an NFL football game. That's pretty crazy.
God, I thought it was less than that.
It could be.
because the you get your preseason, but
I'm not.
The Hall of Fame game, preseason game, I swear is 3 weeks away. But anyway, it's going to give us the ability to dive back into our I told you so's, you know, the what ifs, is how, what's the countdown before Tua hurts his head again. I mean, it's, you know, it, there are so many articles out there of the potential of what that team could be, but everyone is just so apprehensive to go, yeah, this is going to be okay because of what we saw last year. It's not going to be the year we expect it to be with the NFL, dude.
Okay. Just gotta, I have a smile on my face.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. Tua's going to get hurt, say game 8. And
yes,
the Miami Dolphins are like, okay, our backup quarterback, he can get us through a game, maybe. You know what? We're going to bite the bullet. And the last 7 games, you're going to win all 7 games. You know who's going to be throwing your passes?
Who?
Kyler Murray,
God,
baby.
No. Good.
Yes.
No.
And then you're going to have to like him.
No, I don't have to do anything.
You're
so
going to have to like him.
August 3rd.
Is first preseason.
Is Hall of Fame game, preseason, yep. Week 0, the Jets and the Browns.
Yep. So,
what's today?
Right. It's the right. But the first football game isn't until the end of August. So that's 30
we'll
days.
Have football.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I get that.
You know, we'll all be watching preseason, trying to figure out who. There's people out there that bet on preseason games, dude. Bet on preseason games.
I guarantee you, 2 of my degenerate sons do. Come on. They have to. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Randy Wehofer coming in at the 5 o'clock hour. A ton of baseball stuff. So we're going to get some potpourri and all the other sports in next. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, @1700TheChamp, and @HappyHour_SS. Facebook's @1700TheChamp. Minnesota Twins, tiebreaker game tonight. They need to get that win. 8 o'clock pregame. What else do I have? I think that's it, my friend. You have the first read.
Northwest Bank, as always, commitment you can bank on. Take care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Yes, I said it with a lift there, didn't I?
Oh.
Okay, I might need to have a beverage.
Where's
here,
Kyler Murray when you need him?
Exactly.
Come on.
Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app and ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can review the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Okay. So, just a couple of personal things. After the show tonight, going to Gilroy's to do a little celebrating. My wife graduated from her CPM class, public management class.
Gilroy's, really?
Yeah, haven't been to Gilroy's for a long time.
You know,
that's like on your way home.
You know it's blocked off, so you're gonna have to go. You're gonna have to go there to get back.
Oh, is it already blocked off for?
They're redoing that intersection at the bottom of where you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got
to
go down.
So you're gonna have to come back to Ashworth and back around. But I love Gilroy's.
I do too. Really good food.
Yeah, they have really good food.
And tomorrow I'm playing in a golf tournament tomorrow morning. I'd love to tell you what golf tournament it is, but I can't remember. It's work related. So okay. That's always good.
Well, good. That's
it's
good.
At Terrace though. So I'm kind of excited to get to play Terrace. The last time I played Terrace was in this golf tournament last year. So I try to play there more often. Clubhouse is amazing.
That's what I've heard. Is everything from
really,
completely redone, simulators, all these different things. Yeah. So it's supposed to
pretty
be
cool.
Quite
so looking
wonderful.
Looking forward. It's BOMA, so business office management something. BOMA.
It's work related. You're getting paid to golf. Look at you.
Yeah.
All right. So when we first got in here, tell me about you went on a bike ride. You got yourself a new bicycle.
I did get a new bicycle and was just going to see if I could work it and do the things that it needs to be done.
You went with an e-bike.
An e-bike, yes. So
it is, you pedal, and the way you started describing to me, you pedal and do everything you want, as much as you want to work out, but if you start to, because of incline or, like you said, looky-looing around, if it slows down, it will go, nope, we need to get back to up to our pace.
Yep.
Do you set a pace, and then it maintains with you?
No, I think it maintains the pace that I am currently at.
Okay.
So if I start to slow down, it helps me. And if I get really bored.
Well, I would, if I was slowing down because there was, I don't know, an intersection, I wouldn't want it to speed up.
That part, if I touch the brakes, it doesn't do that. I'm just saying if I'm pedaling and I start to not keeping up with the revolutions that I had been doing, it will give me a boost of energy.
So you are post-incident with a heart attack.
Yes.
You are 6 weeks?
Probably a little bit more than that, maybe 8.
And you went 10.1 miles on an e-bike last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you were pedaling, doing your thing. It was
I got a ways out, and I'm like, holy cow! Because I'm trying to see all the bells and whistles while I'm riding, and trying to figure out how I'm going to do things. I had them add sidebars. I mean, like the handle, so I can have different hand positions and stuff.
Right.
And if you're really gassed, right? You can just stop and push a button and you just go, and all you have to do is use the brakes to slow down or you'll be going 25 miles an hour.
So here's where I'm going, because we know next week is Ragbrite.
Yes.
Okay. And I think we've all seen the forecast. There's rumor it could be anywhere on next Friday from 96 to 108,
yep.
I heard.
Depending on where they're at.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, is an e-bike cheating, and should it be allowed on Ragbrite?
Yes, because it's not a race. It's just Ragbrite.
Okay, well, then...
It's a great bike ride across Iowa.
Okay, so it...
The Registers.
Registers
annual great registers bike
annual
ride.
Great bike across Iowa, yes. So...
I will tell you this from what I've seen at the 4 bicycle shops that I've gone to that I was looking at bikes before... Jen walks in and says, oh, look at that one. It's $800, and it's usually $3,200.
Right.
You should take that outside and ride it. I'm like, well, if I'm taking it outside and riding it, she doesn't know, but we're buying it.
Right.
And I bet you, now you get your hardcore people, right?
Right.
So that takes 25%. Take another 25% that are either riding mountain bikes or their old bikes or their old Schwinn they've had for 30 years.
Or their old Trek that they've had for 30 years.
I'm telling you, 30% of the people that are on Ragbrite this year are going to be riding e-bikes. Just from what I've seen from inventory and them saying, yeah, I don't have that one and I don't have that one. And I don't know if I can get that one. They're just every day I've got 10, 15 of them going out my door. I was one of 20 people that bought at Shields. Shields isn't a bike shop. And I was one of 20 that bought e-bikes.
You got your e-bike at Shields? Really?
Yep.
You're a former bike shop owner? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? So then I'm back there with the guys,
right.
And I'm watching. And he's like, yep, I'm going to put it up in the stand. And he comes over, and I'm like, well, that's an interesting work stand. And then he slides the bar down, sets the bike up there, and I'm like, really interesting. And then pushes a button. It goes... I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And everything that they have,
right.
Every tool is torqued at it. You know just how much you
right.
don't, you know. I'm like, well, that makes that stuff easy.
Right.
That's not like 30 years ago working in a bike shop right before Ragbrite with people bringing in bikes going, hey, I found this in my shed.
Right.
Can you fix it in 6 hours? Because I need to ride it.
It's a Sears Free Spirit. Yeah, I'm going to take it on Ragbrite. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No. I am curious to see, for those out there on Ragbrite, how many e-bikes are out there. Because when you're listening
I'm
to
I'm telling you, the truest are going to chirp.
Oh. You know, when
excuse me, the purist, I should say.
When they're going up a big hill, and if I was going up a big hill at 57 years old, and I just go, whew, see you guys, and be gone, I don't care. Because I'd get to the town quick enough, and I'd have a beer.
Right. I had a cassette of Running on Empty playing when I was going up those hills. I know that. But anyway, it's I really started, that kind of gave you a little bit of a lack of a better word, a chill up my back when I saw how hot it was going to be.
Yeah,
and that is not what you want during Ragbri. That's
because
be smart.
Somehow.
Having a Michelob Ultra at 10 o'clock in the morning is not hydrating you.
In 90 degree weather.
Right. You need
in the morning.
Three times as much as what you're doing. But
yeah. But what do we know?
What do we
know? Just radio.
We're just a couple old guys.
We don't know all this stuff.
Exactly.
Just to give a little update, multiple, I think it's now up to 10 current or former Northwestern students have jumped on
the lawsuit against the university.
The university, and they're really, and it depends on who you listen to and what you want to get. The one side is, well, now they're just jumping on and thinking they can get a free buck.
It's a money grab.
And the other is, okay, they finally saw that one person went and just said, you know what, I've got to tell my story. And they're like, you know what? You know what's going to make me feel better? If I tell my story. I don't know how everybody feels about that. But when you're listening to some of these kids, and I listened to one, and it was in an interview that he wasn't seen or anything. It was awful.
Right.
And I would love to sit here and go, you know what? I have enough confidence in humanity that didn't happen. I can't tell you that.
No.
There's no way in my head, knowing what people did 40 years ago when I was in high school. It's that part that it's the only, you know, and the crazy thing about this is, and why it never stops, is because when you have it happen to you as a freshman and you get hazed a little bit, you can't wait to be a senior so you're not being hazed anymore so you can haze somebody else. And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one of the bigger stories today is that, you know, it's for all the people. And listen, if I'm Coach Fitzgerald and I'm the university, I got to keep throwing people out there going, this is overblown. Here's the one thing, and I want your opinion on this. I think they have to stop saying, Coach didn't know anything about it. He's getting killed on this, no matter if he knew about it or he didn't know about it. The simple fact he didn't know about it and the kids didn't have enough trust in going to him and telling him is probably a bigger problem than if he just ignored it.
The fact that he was fired or let go, I mean, it's
with a big contract.
Right. I mean,
these contracts are pretty, I mean, what you can get fired and not collect your money, it's got to be pretty bad.
Right.
And they're not paying him money right now.
So that just where it gets to. It's very disturbing to know that he knew about it and didn't do anything about it.
I think that's worse.
Right. Exactly.
Or
he thought that, I don't know, it was going to be self-regulated in some sort of weird prison yard.
I talked to my seniors and I told them, don't let this happen.
Right.
That's not good enough.
Right. It's just a bad deal.
It was all the way around.
Speaking of, I was going through, I saw this pop up. I didn't realize how bad Deion Sanders was.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a blood clot removed from one leg. He's had toes removed from the left leg.
Yep.
He had to have another. Right, but But he had to have surgery on the foot to realign some existing toes because of the pain. But old Deion says he's going to be out there running the team out when they play TCU.
And I didn't.
That's scary.
I didn't see the whole story, but I think he's been a diabetic all his life.
I think you are correct.
And that's a repercussion.
Right.
And it's a repercussion from playing a extremely violent sport for 12 years, like he did as well. When you go, oh yeah, that toe goes that way. But when I get older, it'll come back. it doesn't come back.
So no, because Deion Sanders was not going to make it to the media day and stuff like that, which let me jump into the story a little bit more. because I'm like, well, I heard he had foot surgery, now, but it was
toes.
Amputation on toes. It was blood clot on the other leg. That's some scary stuff. Something like that. If he's not staying, directly on top of that, that's a scary deal.
It is a scary deal. And, so that compounds media day for the Pac-12. So now you're going into your media days. One of your biggest and, you know, the guy you want the interview with is him.
Oh, right.
You know, that's a big deal. And you still don't have television rights. And you know, I made fun of the other day that like the ACC, their stuff's going to be, I can't remember if it was on CW or something. I'm like, I get probably more people get CW than I think get CW. But if you're a big-time conference, a Power 5 conference, and you're having to go that deep to get some of your games, now that's not, you know, it's not Florida State getting those games. But
I just think, isn't ESPN going to be looking for stuff on?
I think ESPN's looking on how in the heck can I get out of this $25 billion that I paid the Big Ten and right. $25 billion I paid the SEC.
Right.
How can I get out? Because if I keep doing this, it's a bloodbath on sports talk radio right now. I mean, I've listened all week to three different channels, and unless you get CBS has nobody. I mean, all their people are still going, but if you're listening to ESPN, you have not heard the same two people or person do a show more than one day in a row.
Right.
They're just throwing people in there. And you're like, that's tough to do they sit down, they haven't even done anything. They haven't done anything together. They haven't done any of that stuff. And I think it's funny too, because some other radio stations in town, the one carrying ESPN, are still all their commercial breaks and all that and lead ins are still, they're saying the people's names that aren't on these shows anymore. I'm like, is somebody not listening to this to say, hey, we got to change our spots on radio? I mean, I am like a little teeny thimble of a radio guy. And I'm like, yeah, because I hear some of my stuff sometimes. And I go, okay. And I come in and I go, oh, hey, we played a really old commercial today. If you need a new one, I'll do another commercial.
Yeah, that's not relevant.
Yeah, it's not a good. But when they're saying, and I'm going to say this because I don't even know if it, but it Fitz and Harry, I used to love listening to them. It wasn't on this station, but it was at a time. I am a Jim Rome fan, but I can't do Jim Rome every day. And I still want to listen to sports talk.
Yes.
And so I listened to Fitz and Harry, and the Fitz is Jason Fitz. He was used to be with the, I don't kind of like the Dave Matthews Band type of guy.
Right.
And I really liked him, and I liked Harry Douglas. And then that's what the thing is, the program, when they say, hey, you're next up on Fritz and Harry,
and it's not.
They're not even on the radio anymore. And I'm like, dang.
It is a very mucky world
right now. It is a mucky world right now. We are one segment away from getting Randy Wayhofer in here, which we're really excited about. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Bringing sports your way every day. Scott and I will be back right after this break.
101.3 FM and 1700, the Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Last segment of this Wednesday. So we are really getting close, Mr. Scott, of getting hump day over.
And
we are on the downhill.
Spending quality time with Randy Wayhofer.
That is right on there. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at @HappyHour_SS. Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners, tiebreak game tonight. Good luck to the Minnesota Twins. And as always, this segment is going to be brought to you by four homeless veterans. It is a golf tournament at Legacy Golf Club on July 31st, hosted by Central Iowa Shelter and Services. They're hosting their fifth annual event, benefiting the homeless veterans, U.S. veterans that are staying with us in their emergency shelter. I said us because it is us, because that's how much we believe in Central Iowa Shelter and Services. Join us Monday, July 31st, Legacy It's a great place to play golf. Like we said yesterday, it's a great place to play golf when you get four shots for each shot you need to make, which is a nice way to do that. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow and rebuild. The funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds in the emergency shelter and provide street outreach and cook 600 nutritious meals each day. For many of our veterans, these services are the first steps towards stability and self-sufficiency. You can be a whole sponsor for $250. You can be a team for $600. A four-person team includes 18 holes with golf cart, banquet meal, two drink tickets, player raffle, and prizes. Join us out there. Celebrate with us and celebrate for a great cause. Once again, Monday, July 31st, Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk, Iowa, with Central Iowa Shelter and Services. Okay, I got something for you.
All right. Well, I've got stuff too.
Okay. No, I know you do. You want to go first? You can go first.
Well, yeah. Because if I get going, then I get the whole segment.
Okay.
I'm going to give you nine names.
Nine names.
And out of these nine names, because I was reading this, and I think I agree with most of them.
Okay.
But it said one of these nine golfers will win it all at Royal Liverpool, which is the Open.
I love Royal Liverpool, by the way. Oh, that's one I'd like to play.
All right. Number one.
Number one.
Scottie Scheffler. Are you yes or no?
Yes.
Odds of him are 6-1.
Okay.
Number two, Brooks Koepka. Where'd it go? Scotty Rory, McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy.
6-1.
Yes.
Number three is Brooks Koepka. Excuse me. I read my list wrong.
50-50.
18-1.
Yep.
Number four, John Rahm.
Underneath Scottie Scheffler, but before Rory McIlroy.
They've got him at 12-1. Cameron Smith.
Would be in that same grouping. All four of those.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way they play.
So it's interesting for them to come out with, obviously, I was following some wagering stuff as I was surfing around. These are all names that I'm like, yeah, okay. But the odds are I'm not going to go, all right, I'm going to go each one of these, $5 to win, and hope that this gets me back. No, it's not going to work.
You
got to
get somebody from
you
down
below. You got to take these nine.
Right.
Take these nine and maybe pick three out of here that you do a $5 to win.
Right.
And then you can do other ones to top five, top 10.
You need to bring some other people in to get your odds up. Here's what I would tell you. Scottie Scheffler, Rory, John Rahm, all and Cam Smith are yeses because of the way they putt.
Okay.
Brooks Koepka.
Four other ones.
I know, but Brooks Koepka is not as good a putter as those guys are. He's a better ball striker, but he also has to play with Patrick Cantlay for two rounds.
Right. Colin Morikawa?
No.
He's a 31.
Yeah, I think he is still nursing a bad back, and that's not a good place to be with the British Open when one day it could be 80 and the next day it could be 40.
Tommy Fleetwood? 22-1.
Has been, if you were looking for a sleeper at 22-1 to put money down, he likes the course and he came in second.
Also an Englishman.
Yep. He came in second last week in the last kind of tune up for them over across the pond.
Yep. They are, and he's a 22-1. Victor Hovland?
Not as much.
They've got him as an 18-1.
Yep.
And then the last one is Ricky Fowler.
The way he's been playing. And the way he can play, I think putting's gonna hurt him as well.
So what are your three that you would pick? You said Scheffler.
I would take Scheffler,
Cameron Smith,
Cam Smith, and then if I had to
take McIlroy, Koepka, Rahm, Morikawa.
I would take Rahm. He's just too good. He's too good around the greens. Those would be my three.
Now that's you walk right into my next one here. This is a senior golf writer. Now that was a wagering site of giving you the insight of why pick one of these guys, this. Now you go to and he's got Rory McIlroy as a winner. That's a good shot that Rory's going to be the winner of this. A sleeper, Minwoo Lee. Watch that one. I'm like, a lock top 10, Scottie Scheffler. I agree with that one. But then the star that definitely won't win, John Rahm.
Really?
Yes. And that's, He says there's no momentum with Rahm, which doesn't mean he can't win. It's only, it's a very heavy, probably not going to happen.
Wow. No momentum with John Rahm.
I know. Mm. But, I mean.
Strange.
Is it? I don't know.
The only reason I don't pick Rory, I don't like picking somebody that won the week before.
Yes, I agree with that. That is a heavy, heavy stat to try to go back to back, unless you were Tiger Woods.
Right. and you know that comes up again, right? When everybody's doing this and they're like, man, just think how good, you know, this guy and this guy. And then you go back, right? And you go through that. Remember that one time we went, yes, in the top 10 of golfers, if you take their careers of some of these, John Rahm and all these guys, when they're said and done, and then you take Tiger's and you split his out in 10-year increments, none of them are going to get where he was just in a 10-year increment.
Right. I mean,
winning.
Exactly. He had, in essence, three different careers.
Right. Three different careers with more majors than anybody. I mean, and wins. It's crazy. And even the money he made, and the money that he made and the money they make now aren't even close.
This cracks me up because it does start tomorrow. Obviously, we've got rounds starting tomorrow.
And it starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. So if you can't sleep, you can watch some golf.
What do you think the total purse is?
So for the winner or just the total?
It says the total purse.
Well, the winner has to get over $1 million, so.
Oh, okay. I'm so used to hearing all the numbers thrown around with Liv, what these guys are getting.
I would say
total purse is only $15 million.
Yeah, I was going to say the winner gets 15.
No,
I mean not 15. Gets a mil. I mean they'll be over the $1 million mark, and then it'll drop.
Right, it'll be
drastically from there.
Exactly.
No, and it's. Listen, if there are reasons to pick Rory, he plays well in the wind. He's used to that. That's why it's hard to take Scottie Scheffler, because he's not accustomed to playing there. He just has not been out of the top 10 for so long that, I mean, it's just steady, and his putting is steady. Who I would love to see win, I would love to see Ricky Fowler win. I love that Ricky Fowler's back in the...
That he's relevant again.
Yeah, because he had, you know, and it was... It was tough. You know, if you go through all that time that Justin and Jordan and all those guys were at their peak, and they all have hot girlfriends, and Ricky Fowler's there by himself, and it just you feel bad. And you don't have to feel bad for Ricky. Even when he wasn't playing well, he still was making millions and millions of dollars. But I think here's one for you that it wasn't in that. I would never count out Justin Rose. Just because playing there, and I'm telling you, Patrick Harrington and, you know, somebody like that that's older, that can hit the ball straight, wind doesn't affect him. I mean, would I be shocked if somebody like that finished in the top 10? No. It's my favorite tournament to watch, because it's something like I can go to Pebble Beach. I mean, if I wanted to pay the money, I mean, I have buddies that go to Pebble Beach all the time.
Right.
I could go with them. I can play all these courses. You can get in. I'm never flying over water, so I'm not going and playing where they play all the Opens at. But I think they would, as much as we love golf, I think it'd be the coolest thing in the world to see, because that's how golf's supposed to be.
Just to see this again, I'm going through the tee times and who the groups of three are. 9:36 a.m. Patrick Cantlay, Brooks Koepka, and Hideki Matsuyama.
And two of the slowest golfers in the world.
Like you said yesterday, somebody has a sense of humor.
Hideki Matsuyama brings his golf club up and holds it for an extended period of time and then swings. Oh, my goodness. I want 17 different face angles
about
Brooks Koepka.
There is some great groupings. This is going to be a fun one to watch.
It is going to be fun. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to Scott and I right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Randy Wehofer coming in here. That means baseball. And I'm excited. We'll be right back. to do. I was looking at the computer.
I know you really like this intro, but are you going to do anything?
It is my favorite intro. This is Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Welcome in, everybody. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins have the Seattle Mariners tonight. It's the rubber match before they head to Chicago, and then they got the Mariners coming back through at home. So an interesting little road trip for the Twins. We also have, it is Wednesday, Randy Wayhofer's back in here with us. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. He is at Randy Wayhofer. He is the assistant general manager. He's the assistant general manager and VP of the Iowa Cubs. And we will talk to him in just a second. But Scott has a read to do.
I have the read, Heritage Building Maintenance, my favorite run-on read here, because it needs to be rewritten, right?
Yeah, you're so good at it. Okay, I told you. Right. Hey,
Heritage Building Maintenance, there you go, provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier, more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation technology, provide peace of mind, and protecting our future by being certified partners in science-proven microbial control to provide advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Good job out of you.
You know, it's like I've done it before.
I know. It's good. Randy, how you doing?
Terrific.
How's things? Because it's been a while. You were busy.
Yeah, well, you guys, we had the 4th of July and some vacation time and softball time, but things are good. It's been a good summer at the ballpark. Team continues to play well. Won a couple here against Indianapolis to begin this series. Looking good so far, and we're rolling right along. I think we've had some good stuff behind us, and I still think we've got good stuff ahead of us too. So I'm excited for what the rest of the summer brings. But we're on the backside now. We're past halfway, so it starts to move pretty quick here.
You have you're scheduled through Sunday, July 23rd, and then you're on the road, which is probably good. We were just talking about Ragbri. It's not a good place to have everybody downtown finding something to do, but it would be exciting. But talk about a crazy time that would be. Your current homestand. The biggest question I've got in the last couple of weeks, and Scott and I were talking about it a little bit yesterday. We were talking about your record. When you guys are sitting at the beginning of the season, the end of the season, how much do you talk about the record of the iCubs, or do you talk more about player development and movement?
I mean, for us, if the team's good, there's some residual benefit to it. The team's terrible, you maybe lose a little bit of interest. We're talking about 5% one way or the other at most. You know, most of the basis of what we're trying to accomplish is based in group sales and promotional activity and all those things. And I think there are a number of people who take pride in the hometown team that kind of keep track of how the baseball's going and are interested in it. But, I think I've said before, growing up, even in Chicago, whether the Cubs were in first place or last place, as long as they won the day that we went,
it was awesome.
That was all that you were really worried about. So, the record only reflects so much in minor league baseball. When you go through 200 plus transactions and 50 different players, it's hard to hang your hat on a record. Although when it works out and you win, it's terrific. It's a bonus.
Yeah. And fans love it. So I get that part, because there's a lot of fans. A lot of people at my work or different places are excited because it's fun. It's fun when you get to see your team and they're winning and they're playing well. A lot of youngsters, which I think people enjoy because getting to they can't wait to get to see them move, and I think that's exciting. The other is, so how quickly, so all the different things that you've done this year, and man, you've had some great promotions. Is it a weekly thing? with everyone that you sit down and go, okay, after this happened today, what did everybody think? Or is that an end of the year thing going, okay, with all these things we did this year, these are the ones that we know we're going to do again. And here's some ones that we're like, eh. And then we got to come up with more stuff because we got to keep being better, faster, stronger, and all that. Is that all the time, or is it something that you do after the season?
He can't get Caitlin Clark every weekend, Gary. I know that's what you're asking, but he can't do that.
No. they've had a lot of stuff, and I'm just curious. Being a marketing guy too, I think it's exciting.
Well, I was watching the big Cubs last night. They had Marvel Night at Wrigley last night, and I'm like, well, they must have got that from Randy. I mean, that's pretty good.
I love it.
There are certain things that you try to gauge in the moment and get some feedback from people and try to take the pulse of what's going on, particularly like the Jurassic Ballpark and the dinosaur exhibit that we had. That was something new that we tried. Anytime you do something the first time, it's an incomplete story. Just talking about this, in minor league baseball, it's hard to do anything once and get a conclusion, or at least a good one. You can draw it, but you're
right,
not having a very good basis for it. Because I can have a terrible idea and good weather and have a good crowd.
I love that.
Okay, I like that.
But the opposite is true.
We can have a great idea in terrible weather, and you got to stick with it, and some of those things. So some of that we talk about in the moment, but some of that promotional calendar building is done, trying to identify what's the trend, what's the hot thing that we can overlap with the baseball to create that urgency to come to the ballpark. And it's hard to know what's going to be cool next June at this point in time. So I take a lot of time with some meticulous record keeping of all the different kinds of tickets we offer, the group activity, the specials, and keep track of all of that, and then try to look at all of it at the end of the year and see what really made a difference or not, or how did this do compared to when we did it last year, and what is the Marvel – how are we building that Marvel audience? How are we building the Demonios and the Copa opportunity audience? Is it just kind of flat, or are we continuing to see more and more people figure it out and realize what's going on? So there's a lot that goes into it, and there's a lot of spaghetti thrown against the wall at different times, and in the fall is probably the most intense time for that to go back and look at everything in total and say, what's a Tuesday look like with dogs, and what's a Tuesday look like without bringing your dog to the ballpark, and then you kind of measure it that way.
We talked about it when we first got back on here. Next week is going to be hot, high 90s, low 100s. You are not going to be in town. You're on a away stint. But in a scenario where you do have, where it is high 90s, and does that affect you? Do you see? Is that an obvious one that you're like, people just aren't going to come out and sit in the sun and watch this game?
Yeah, there's definitely some of that. There is a point, and it kind of depends on the context of what's been leading up. I think the anticipation of next week and the water cooler talk that I've been part of is we've been really lucky, as mild as it's been so far. 2 weeks ago, there were people wearing sweatshirts at the ballpark on a night that we would have killed for in April, where you would have been breaking out the shorts and tank tops and things for that. So it always depends on the context of how long have you been living with it already.
Right. Exactly.
And so forth. But yeah, there comes a point in time where, we try to double up the water filling stations, or we'll allow the sealed bottle of water to come in when you kind of cross that threshold into what could be dangerous for fan safety to not prevent people from making a choice not to come at all. But certainly when it gets 95 and above, even if you've bought a ticket ahead of time, there are some people that probably prefer to stay in their air conditioning or need to for whatever various reasons, and you understand that. But that's why the group sales and the suites and all the different things that we offer are so important, so that you're not waiting till the day of the game to decide whether it was a worthwhile investment. You hope that some of those things are spur you to act a little bit quicker, to get the bobblehead, to be part of Marvel to do all the things that we're doing so that you're not dependent on just what the thermometer is telling you that day when people wake up and think about what they want to do.
Go ahead.
So that heading to Memphis next week. So we still have, what is it, Indianapolis. Indianapolis still tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is it Saturday? Is bobblehead?
Yes. Yeah, Caleb Killian bobblehead on Saturday.
Go. Thank you.
That's number two of the three part bobblehead series, the Matt Mervis one we did about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he's still with us and starting to get that swing back going again.
Yep.
And Killian's having a nice year. I think he's 6-1, and been up and down a couple of times, and I think still very much in the mix as a future important member of the Chicago Cubs. And then we're hoping by the time we get to Brendan Davis and his bobblehead in August that he might be back from the injury. He's back in Arizona right now doing some rehab. And, you know, Mervis and Davis were the last two minor league players of the year in the Cubs organization. And then Killian, the top pitching prospect a year ago and acquired in the Chris Bryant trade. So even if you didn't get the Mervis bobblehead, the next two are cool. If you're able to get all three, the background photo makes a nice set to display on a desk or a mantle or a dresser in a kid's room. So if you got that first one, be on the lookout for Saturday. And if you didn't, still come out and get the last two. And there's a lot of great bobbleheads in the world and a lot of people collecting them. They've become a lot of fun.
When's the baby blue Oaks jerseys?
That's tomorrow. Okay. So we've got Oaks tomorrow night, 6:38 start. And the first 1,000 early arriving fans will get a replica of the powder blue Iowa Oaks jersey that we unveiled this year that Musco's sponsoring.
Excellent.
It is exciting. How often do your minor league roving scouting talent, how often do they pop through at some of the different places? I mean, is it a constant checking up on people, trying to figure out? And the other thing that somebody asked me too is when they're doing all this, are they in contact with the players too, or are they just there watching? They're not giving feedback.
No, both. I mean, you know, there's always someone extra in town. Those support staffs have grown so big and become so specialized, from positional work to mental skills to nutrition to strength and conditioning and all of those parts. And, you know, the traditional positional coaches, you know, that they're there for early work before batting practice. So when the outfield instructor's in town, the outfielders are coming out at 2:30 before BP, and they're working on something, some sort of technique. And then, you know, that person is, you know, it's Doug DeCenzo currently, and he's usually in uniform and in the dugout. You know, so they're there providing feedback and building on those relationships that they started and the positional work that was done in spring training. You know, so they get to, they are definitely hands-on. Most are in the dugout. If there's too many people in the dugout, gets a little crowded, some of them will come watch from the seats when the game starts. But they're all on the field and part of early work and batting practice and all the preparation that goes into the stuff that happens before we open the gates and the game starts.
I think you've even said that to us before, though. The coaching staff is in constant contact with the big club. I mean, for far as input and whether it's input in expectation or not, you know, not up to par. But, I mean, I think you've told us that before, that yeah, it has to be.
And the cameras they have installed, Jed Hoyer can sit in his suite at Wrigley Field and turn on the camera to watch batting practice at Principal Park and watch the game. And we've got two video coordinators now logging data and information and sending it along. If a guy sneezes, they probably know about it.
See, that's fascinating. I don't think people understand just the intricacy of minor league and major league baseball. They think it's like separate stuff, and it's all looped together. The thought process is, and it would have been my thought process before I met you, is the big club only worries about it when they have to worry about it. And that it's not true. It can't be true, because it has to be a well-oiled machine, or at some point you're going to, if you have something slip, then it throws everything out of motion.
It was a real pet peeve of mine in my radio days to watch a major league game and just a lack of context. And I understand why. Being a major league broadcaster, you are inundated with all the things that are happening for 162 dates and being current with that. But as guys would get called up, I'd be watching these matchups. And it's Chris Bryant got called up, and he's facing a guy in the Pirates who we just played the week before. And the lack of context that's given when you're watching Major League Baseball, as if the world just started for those two guys as baseball players in that moment facing each other. You know, like, oh my goodness, look at the way Chris Bryant turned around this 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Archimedes Caminero. Well, he did that last week in New Orleans, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what the major league staffs are looking at. You know, matchups in Major League Baseball are more important than ever before. You know, and when Jared Young's red hot, they know and they time him getting called up, and that's why he comes up and he hits two home runs and three triples in his first 4 days. He's cooled off since. Because he doesn't, you know, he's lost the regular at-bats going up because that's not going to be his role on the big league team. But it's not an accident when guys get called up at the peak of when they're locked in to maximize on whatever matchups, you know, we're facing the Reds next week and they've only got one lefty in the bullpen. So let's bring up these two guys from AAA that are swinging it really good from the left side and give us a matchup advantage for this particular series. And you can tinker with the bottom five of your roster between the bullpen and the bench like that all the time. And those are the things that they're trying to capitalize on.
That is funny you would say it like that, because it does. It's like a drop-in context of, well, this guy was working for FedEx last week and he just turned on a 99. What? No, he's been doing this for a long time.
It's not like they're not, they have to have a second job.
Yeah, exactly.
While they're out, exactly. While they're out doing, so when we come back, we got about 20 seconds. When we come back, we talked a little bit about Major League Baseball earlier in the show today, and the amount of teams that at the All-Star break seem to be out of it, and it seems more this year, but I can almost guarantee you that Randy will tell us that that's probably
trust me, I got a good one too that people have been asking me that we can just light the candle and let him go. So.
There we go. That's what we got Randy in here for, because he makes us sound really good. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We will be back. Randy's got a lot more left. See you after this break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
Thank you. Champ,
real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It is Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott's here. Randy Wehofer's here. I'm here. You're here. We appreciate you being here. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter. It's at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Also at Randy Wehofer, who is nice enough on these days to come in and see us. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The Minnesota Twins played the Mariners tonight. It's the rubber match of this series. And then they jump into the series again on Monday and Tuesday of next week. So very important games for the Minnesota Twins to keep up where they are at. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. They provide design, engineer, install, program, and service, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Go to Woodman Controls and find out all that they do in their field, and they're very good at what they do. And man, I'm telling you, the technology is becoming amazing, and you need somebody like this to help you get through it. And you get to be with a company that is an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Thank you to Woodman Controls for being a part of our show. We were talking to Randy during the break. Softball season is quickly coming to a close, baseball season coming to a close. We noted earlier that minor league baseball, we're over the halfway point. We're over the halfway point in Major League Baseball. With Major League Baseball this year, and Scott and I were going through this earlier today, and I don't want to say that it's the haves and the have-nots, because some of the haves are teams that haven't been there in a long time, but there is a a wide distinction of, so 30 teams in Major League Baseball. It's 16 and 14. 16 are above 500, 14 are below 500, and some of the 14 that are below are really below. Is that what baseball is looking for? Because I can't see a day where you have everybody, you know, dog fighting and there's not that super team. I mean, when you look at this right now, if you had, I get Atlanta, okay, 61 wins, I get that. I'm telling you, nobody had Baltimore Orioles at 58 wins at the halfway mark. If they did, they're Baltimore Orioles fans, and that's it. And when I think of the Orioles and I think of the Tampa Bay Rays and I think of the Cincinnati Reds, just those three in particular, I always think of you because they're bringing kids up through the system now. They used to spend money wildly and they couldn't win. And now they're bringing people in and they're showing that you can do it a different way. That part, I think, is great for baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the faces have changed, but the names are the same, or whatever that kind of cliche is that, you know, in 14 and 15, when it was the Royals doing it, it was a great story, and then they've fallen off the face of the earth because they don't sustain it. And meanwhile, the Reds were what the Royals are this year, and now it's their time, and how long can they extend this window? The Rays have been an anomaly for a while, but, you know, and Baltimore is doing the same. Do they have the staying power, you know, to pop this for a year or two, and then can they keep those guys, or will they become Johnny Damon and Carlos Beltran and all the guys that made you tease and then left? I think the landscape of Major League Baseball and just kind of looking at the standings, I think the abrasiveness is the fact that the Cardinals stink and nobody expected that. The Mets spent $1 billion and are terrible. The Padres spent $2 billion and are worse. You know, you got five teams in the East that are above 500 in the American League, and the Yankees are in last place of the five, but they got a better record than everybody in the American League Central. And I think everybody's fooled about the Angels and the Mariners being 500 clubs. When you look, you know, the Mariners made a nice run last year and had a young group, and could they take the next step? And then no one can understand why the Trout-Ohtani thing isn't working to win more games. So I think perception and expectation are always really important barometers going into a season, and I think the season has flipped some expectations on some teams, good and bad, but the rest of it's a math problem. I mean, to have 16 teams winning and 14 teams losing is, I mean, you know, somebody's got to win and lose every day. I mean, right. You can, and that's one of the things about sports that I think the talk culture misconstrues, is that you don't have to be the greatest of all time to be the best that season. You don't even have to be the best that season all season if you build towards something. And we seem to have all forgotten what the Philadelphia Phillies did a year ago and where they came from and where they finished and why that's interesting and why it's a pennant race and why it all, you know, I think everyone's desire to be able to predict the future, whether to make a wager or to fit into that whole predictive kind of mindset, creates all this tension as if we need to know. And I think the randomness is what makes it fun.
I think it is too. We've talked about that a lot this week, that seeing these teams up there makes me giddy, because that's the part I love the most. There's some young, vibrant, flamboyant, talented players right now. Like, is it De La Cruz from
De La Cruz
from the Reds? I don't even care what he hits. He took a ball in deep, almost like shallow left field, and threw 100 miles an hour to first base. I'm like, I would pay $50 to see him take infield. That's crazy. And they didn't even have him up until now. And he stole three bases and stole home.
Yeah. I guess for me, the last 5 years, Major League Baseball has not provided enough context, because a year ago this time, the general you, not specifically you, was saying all the same things about O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates.
Yeah.
And everybody forgot about him.
Yeah.
And when Cody Bellinger was an MVP, he was the flavor of the month. I still like to get a pack of baseball cards every once in a while and pretend I'm 12 years old again and see who's in there. And for the last 5 years, it's been, I've got a whole special set dedicated to Cody Bellinger because he's the next great thing. And then we move on so fast because he either gets hurt or has three bad weeks. And then it was Judge, and everybody seems to have forgotten who Aaron Judge is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ohtani is a unicorn, and nobody disagrees about him, so nobody talks about him because it's a boring conversation when you say he's great. Yes, he's great. And then what else do we say? We have lost our ability as promoters of the game to give any true context and meaning to your – it's kind of like gymnastics in the Olympics where you throw out the top score and you throw out the bottom score and you are the average of the middle. Throw out Ellie De La Cruz and throw out – you can't be that guy every day over 162 games. And if you tune in on Sunday Night Baseball and the Reds are featured – and Ellie De La Cruz goes 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and a pop-out, you go, well, this guy's no good. Right. And we have lost the everyday Peter Gammons narration of the context of 30 years ago as
to why
it's okay for a superstar to have a bad 3 weeks, and that doesn't mean he's not a superstar anymore, and to say why this guy who's having a great 3 weeks probably shouldn't be etched into Cooperstown just yet. But we try to treat Major League Baseball like it's the NFL and overreaction Monday and everything is in that small sample size. We just don't embrace the fact that baseball's different and you can have a good solid discussion as to what somebody's value is, but you are either the greatest or the worst at every moment. And players don't feed that way because if they think that way, they will be out in an instant. And so they don't feed that narration with the beat writers and with their quotes the same way football players, you know, guy.
16 games.
You watch an NFL game and one team's leading by 21 points. The team that's down 21 gets an interception at their own 10-yard line and the guy acts like he just won the Super Bowl. Or was elected president. You know, there's just a whole different action and emotion that comes from that feeds in, and you can't live that high and low as a baseball player and be successful. And that's the part that I don't think we have anybody talking nationally and or locally with any regular basis that you understand the nuance of baseball and why you just can't run that hot and cold. And maybe we don't have the appetite for that, but if you run that hot and cold in your day job, that's not really the way what any boss is looking for.
No,
you can't run hot and cold in any other segment of the world and just ride that emotional roller coaster. You'd stress out all of your coworkers and your manager.
2 points on that, and the funny thing last year, Aaron Judge, and how he started this year too, before he fouled the ball off his foot. And has a toe problem, is as great as his season was, he still failed 2/3 of the time that he was doing his craft. I mean, that's baseball. That's how hard baseball is. And when you, that's the crazy thing, and I wanted to get your opinion on this with Ohtani. Okay, so he's leading in home runs. That's amazing. I mean, in itself, any pitches, that's cool too. He leads the league in triples, which means that he is except for that he does not play in the field, so you can't call him a five-tool player, but he's something different because of the speed and all the other things. And all they talk about with Ohtani anymore is who's going to get him, because the Angels can't keep him. The Angels, if the Angels can't...
Well, who's going to rent him for half a season?
Yeah, the Angels can pay him. They're only, Randy, seriously, in Major League Baseball, what is there, 5 teams that can afford... To pay, I mean, all of them could afford to do it, but who's going to do it?
Well, yeah, there's no comp in his market.
No.
So you're waiting for a Steve Cohen or one of these
yep.
guys to just write a blank check because they want him in his in their uniform. And that's the hard part about it. For a long time, I have been frustrated as a baseball fan in the regard that in the month of July, everyone has to decide to be a buyer or a seller.
Right.
Talk about that.
I don't agree with that mentality. I think that if you can't be an average team looking to get better, but you need to flip for unproven assets every player of value on your roster because you can't win that year, I think that's nonsense. I think, but it's just accepted. Like, no one pushes back on that idea in any national discussion I hear or any baseball articles or any pundit. I don't hear any pushback on that discussion that how are the Chicago Cubs going to be better if they had higher expectations in 23 that they're not fulfilling. How are the players who are playing the best, getting rid of them, going to make them a better team in 2024? At least not all of them. You know, so when they were building the Cubs and they signed Scott Feldman was not going to be a rotation ace if you got to become a playoff team, but yet they figured out how to have a good enough first half to get Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop out of it. So if you want to flip Trey Mancini, or you want to flip, but Marcus Stroman could be a guy in 2024 that if you were in a playoff series, you would want with the ball in his hand on the mound.
Right.
So how does getting rid of him for two 19-year-old prospects that Baseball America thinks are really good athletes with measurables that may or may not actually be any good, how does that make you a better organization? I resist the notion that if you are not within striking distance, you need to flip everybody of value for prospects who are lottery tickets. And if you are good, you have to trade all of your young players to go find some guy for the next 3 months that may or may not. So six teams go get guys. Only one wins the World Series. So we're five failures. It just makes no sense to me that we just widely accept that you are either a winning team and you're acquiring, or you're a losing team and you're selling. And that's the way the game has to work. I resist that notion with every fiber of my being.
And you have Cody Bellinger who starts playing well, and they're like, now you got to get something for him. And
How
about we just keep him?
It was what's the record going into the All-Star break, and then from my son to my nephew to Barrett, all that discussion. Okay, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Bellinger? Which, give me the three guys you think they're going to deal. I'm like, why? it's exactly what you said, because that's the mindset. Well, you're not relevant, therefore you have to do something just because you're not relevant.
But at least with Bellinger, you have Seiya Suzuki, and you have Ian Happ, and then you have Pete Crow Armstrong, and you have Nelson Velasquez, and you have Alexander Canario that's back with us now. You could believe that you would be as good in that spot without Bellinger next year. There is no Marcus Stroman in the organization.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to go anywhere.
But to me, that's the difference. If you could have that conversation and say contextually, this is a spare part that we could replace, so let's get value, or we don't have anything to replace, but we just like draft capital, that's a different conversation.
It is. That's why I love Wednesday.
You stare at him like,
I do.
Yeah.
Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. It's special. I got one more segment with Randy. Scott and I, and Randy will be right back.
The NTT IndyCar Series is back at Iowa Speed
on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Wednesday. Last segment on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SSNR. Friend of the show, Randy Wayhofer. He is at Randy Wayhofer on Twitter as well. The assistant general manager and VP of the Iowa Cubs. As always, I'm happy to have you in here. And whenever I don't mess those up, I mentally give myself a check. I got it right this time. I didn't get it wrong. I want to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and four homeless veterans. Golf outing with Central Iowa Shelter and Services at Legacy on Monday, July 31st. Minnesota Twins and Seattle Mariners are on the docket for tonight. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they have the White Sox, and then they have the Mariners again. We also have IndyCar on Saturday and Sunday. You're not here tomorrow, or are you here tomorrow?
The plan is to be here.
Okay, so the plan's to be here. Friday, we are in Newton.
That darn day job gets in the way.
Yeah, no kidding. Friday, we're going to be in Newton, live show, and then going and enjoying some things in Newton. I'm up there all weekend, so looking forward to seeing a lot of stuff, some good concerts. Going to be a really good weekend.
I'm going to be in Waverly celebrating with some guys that 35 years ago we graduated.
There you go. I always tell my story. We enjoyed last year, one of the funnest times. I left, went down for a day, stayed at a place down on the lake, came back up on Sunday so we could see Blake and Gwen Stefani. Didn't feel well the next day. Went to the doctor, had COVID. They said, "Have you been around anybody?" 300,000 people in 2 days, but hey, nobody that close.
Exactly.
But looking extremely forward to being up there and getting to see that. Randy, it is always a pleasure to have you in here. And now in these last segments, we get to bombard you with some discussion.
You got this is a simple question that pops up because it is so, people think it's so straight and narrow of a question. Looking at the Iowa Cubs, they're International League West. They're leading. They're 54-36. Now we look at the Chicago Cubs. They are 7.5 games out, and they are below 500. What did I say they were at? 44-50, right? So you got this that is supposed to feed into this. The iCubs are so good. Why don't we just take the good guys off there and make the Chicago ones better? It's simple. What do you tell somebody that says that? I mean, that to me, I understand how narrow a vision that is.
Watch football.
There you go.
I think the easy answer is the Iowa Cubs never face Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom or any of the all-star pitchers that are elsewhere around Major League Baseball. Any team's record is a product of who their opponents are.
Yep.
And the Chicago Cubs have compiled through the deals that they've made the last couple of seasons, a nice collection of young players. Ben Brown pitched today, and he allowed one hit in five scoreless innings and struck out nine. Last time Ben Brown pitched at Principal Park, he gave up 8 runs in an inning and 2/3. Your ability to repeat, what you perform at your top level at the minor league level, and they call it the ceiling and the floor when we talk about athletes. A big part of what minor league baseball is learning how to replicate your best effort as often as possible. As a high school player, you play 3 times a week. As a college player, you play 4 or 5 times a week. As a professional player, you play 6 to 7 times a week and sometimes 14 to 18 days in a row. If you've done it once, I believe you can do it. But the ability to repeat that high-level execution and effort and polish is what separates a skill game from a physical domination game. Shaq will always be bigger and stronger than everybody, but doesn't matter how hard you throw or how far you hit it, if it's not your day and you haven't replicated your best self, you will not have success. And that's why you can't copy and paste Matt Mervis's AAA numbers in the Major League numbers. And so Matt went up and they found the hole in his swing and they exploited it to the point where Matt needed to come back and understand what pitchers will do to him at the next level that they aren't doing here. And that's one of the other big differences about AAA. AAA will spend some amount of time studying your opponent and creating a game plan to attack their weaknesses. But everybody in AAA is also learning on polishing their strengths. Everybody in the major leagues has polished their strengths to the point that they only attack your weaknesses. And so if I'll use Arismendi Alcantara as an example, so it's not a current player. And Arismendi Alcantara was a middle infielder with the Iowa Cubs back when we had Baez and Soler and Bryant. And he was 5'11 and 180 pounds, and he hit the ball as far, if not further, than all those guys did in batting practice. And he was a dynamic player. He looked like Ellie De La Cruz in the Pacific Coast League. He set a franchise record for triples in a season. He hit the ball off a light tower in Colorado Springs. He had a good arm. He was a switch hitter. He did all of that. He could not recognize a changeup. And every time the Cubs called him up, within 3 days, the advanced scout said, don't throw this guy anything but a changeup. And he never closed that hole in his swing, and he ended up in Mexico for a couple of years, and he's out of baseball, and he didn't earn any real money as a Major League Baseball player. If you don't close whatever holes you have at the minor league level, but at the AAA level, they knew that he couldn't hit a changeup, but I'm here to get my fastball command right so I can go to the big leagues as a pitcher. So I'm working on my fastball. And he's going to hit it, but I don't care because that's not going to follow me forever, just like we talked about earlier. The world starts over once you put on a major league uniform. All those people that talk about you have no context of what happened before. Those things don't follow you. So there is so much going on as to a reliever who has a fastball and a slider, but he doesn't have anything slow. So he's in AAA, not because he can't get big league hitters out, but because in order to get great big league hitters out in a playoff situation, you better add a split finger or a changeup or something else to your arsenal. So go throw it, and your ERA is going to be 8 for the next 6 weeks at AAA because you're not going to throw it for enough strikes and you're not going to throw it in all the right spots. But it's not going to get better unless you go do it. And that's the difference between the minor leagues and the major leagues and why it's such a huge step to not only get there but stay there, because the way that you are being attacked from the other side is completely different once you get to the big leagues than it is at the minor league level.
And that's the most amazing thing, what you just said right there. So when we're yelling, going, why does he keep throwing that? He can't throw it for a strike because he's trying to learn how to throw it for a strike. Right. And that's his job. See, that's the thing that people don't, they want to go down there and they want to see the Iowa Cubs win.
Right.
And I get that they want to see the Iowa Cubs succeed. And there's a difference. You winning and winning at your level is great. Chicago Cubs, I bet, go, hey, nice job. What'd you do for me? And people don't understand that because we just want to be there. We want to cheer. And you know, that it's why. It's why they don't, or why he – why did he bunt there? He can hit home runs. But maybe he can't hit home runs when he moves.
Well, I think the most relevant thing you said was you can't cut and paste stats.
No.
It doesn't bleed over. I mean, it's no, that's a good answer. Simple answer as Randy always does, just right to the point.
As a hitter, you're not facing number one starters in the minor leagues. And in the big leagues, you're not facing the 25th guy just up from double A.
Right.
Who's, you know, the extremes of what you face are just completely different, and that's why your results are different.
And that's why I had so much fun we complained about it all the time, but when my buddy and I were fighting over Ozzie Smith and Robin Yount, it was a typical baseball thing. Well, he wins me games by playing defense, and I said, well, my guy wins games. He doesn't make mistakes in the field, but he hits. I mean, and we fought about it, but Randy would have said they both fit perfectly in the teams and the organizations and the style of play. Even though they were totally different players, it was you can be a position player and play differently. And it was a constant argument, but it was an argument that winners on both sides. Nowadays, it's harder to get. I mean, you really have to be able to. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You either have to be able to get people out or not get people out as a pitcher, and you have to be able to put the ball in play. And if you can't do that, you can't play baseball. And it shows how hard baseball is. And I'm telling you, people want to compare, well, golf's really hard. Somebody's not throwing the golf ball at you. So, I mean, to stand, the thing that took me away from playing baseball, I couldn't stand there and in good conscience let somebody throw that hard at me. I just couldn't do it. I mean, I loved baseball, but couldn't do it. Randy, as always, it is an amazing hour that we get, and we're so appreciative of you doing that for us, and the iCubs
we're
are
just
letting
talking. You're very nice. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. He's hoping he's in here tomorrow. We're going to be in Newton on Friday. We're going to have a blast there. Listen to that one. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. See you tomorrow. Here's a